In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shouting.
Today we celebrate our national holiday of Independence Day, celebrating our independence as a nation. Having independence has certainly brought about certain freedoms to which we have grown accustomed. Our independence and our freedom have become core values of our American culture. These values have shaped much of who we are and how we think and how we approach life in general. But it's important to consider, is it possible to take independence to such an extreme that it's too far? And perhaps that doesn't seem like an appropriate question to consider today, but here we are in the context of the church, and we have to consider such things. And certainly, the quick answer would be, yes, it is possible. And there are some expressions of independence that we would say are taken too far to such extreme that there is an evil that is resulting from that independence that is there. Certainly, when we look at the story of Genesis, we see Adam and Eve who sought to be independent of God. And this kind of independence was not a good thing. It was a bad kind of independence. It was taken to an extreme. Even though God had given them free will, it was not to be exercised by rebelling against Him. And what do we seek as Christians? We seek to be united to God and to ultimately have a healthy kind of dependence upon Him. And when we think of human society, we recognize that God has ultimately created human beings to live in the context of a community, to live in communion with one another. And that requires a cooperation. It requires us not to be so independent that we forget the needs of those who are other members of the community. We rightly have a healthy interdependence upon one another. Each of us have certain responsibilities we fulfill, and by fulfilling those responsibilities, other people in the community benefit from those things. It is for the good of others. And so it is in the context of the life of the church that we live as a community of believers. Here, as in the rest of life, we seek a healthy interdependence on other people. And it is this very dynamic that the Apostle Paul is writing about in the epistle text today. It might not be immediately apparent at the first glance because the real stage that is set is in the verses immediately prior to what we hear this morning, but he's just fleshing it out and giving us more example as he continues in the epistle text today. So turning back just one verse, the verse prior to what we hear this morning, in that verse the Apostle Paul says that we are many members of one body. And not all members have the same function. All members do have a function, but it's not the same. We are all members of Christ's body and individually members of one another. So it is that we need each other. And ultimately, in one sense, we depend upon one another. It is together that we form the body of Christ. No one person is the body of Christ. It is us together, corporately, the community of believers that form the body of Christ. Each individual person is a member of that body, but not the body. And as we understand that with our physical bodies, we require certain things for our health in order for us to function properly. We require food. We require water. We require rest and so many other things. And so it is that the body of Christ needs certain spiritual ingredients for its health. And this is essentially what the Apostle Paul is unpacking in our text this morning. He's describing some of those ingredients that are necessary for the health of the body of Christ, for the health of each of us as members in that body. And one of those ingredients is the functioning of spiritual gifts. When each of us exercise the spiritual gift that God has given to us, it leads us to a unity of the Spirit. It leads us to a healthy expression of Christ's body. The Apostle Paul acknowledges that we all have different gifts. As he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. But then acknowledging that reality that they're different, he motivates us with the exhortation, use those gifts. Let us use them, he says. In other words, it doesn't matter what gift we've been given, we need to use that gift. It doesn't matter if we've been given an exotic variety of spiritual gift or not. We need to exercise that gift. It doesn't matter how exotic that gift may be or how great we might think that gift is if it is an unused gift. Spiritual gifts are given in order to be used. The grace that God gives to us in those spiritual gifts is not to be put on a trophy case, but that grace that we receive is to be transmitted to others through the operation of our gifts. We are individual members of one body, and each of us must do our part. Each of us have a function in that body. Each of us have gifts that are to be used. Lest anyone stereotype what spiritual gifts might be, look carefully at what the Apostle Paul gives in his example. He gives a wide range of examples this morning, from prophecy to deeds of charity. So don't think that when we speak of spiritual gifts, we are only speaking of the mystical variety, because certainly there are many spiritual gifts that are very practical in nature. On the list this morning, he gives three very practical ones right there up front and in the center. He says he includes serving, he includes giving, he includes doing charitable deeds of mercy. See, each one of us must do our part. I shudder to think what the church would be if we all decided simultaneously to give up and let someone else do it. What happens if all of us decide that? Then nothing is done ultimately, right? But understand that in microcosm, that's what happens each and every time we adopt that mindset. We shudder to think of what would happen if everyone decides that, but when we as one person decide that, that experience plays out in a microcosm of our world. When we choose to not do our part, to let someone else do it, someone who is near to us, someone who is around us, suffers the loss of us not doing our part, of us not doing our service, of us not contributing our part. You see, having different gifts, according to the grace given us, we need to use them as the apostle instructs us. We're not to wait for someone else to do it. We have to do our part. And by doing our part, very often it is the people that are immediately around us that actually benefit from us exercising that spiritual gift. By doing our part, we contribute to the health of the body of Christ. There's another ingredient that the Apostle Paul addresses that's essential for the body of Christ to be healthy. He continues with another exhortation. Let love be genuine. Whereas spiritual gifts differ from each member, from one to the next, genuine love is a common goal that each and every member of the body of Christ should be striving toward. Likewise, genuine love is attainable and experienced in the context of Christ's body. It's a cyclical thing. It is something that we are to exercise, and it's something that we experience. Each one of us must take up this manner of genuine love. Each member of Christ's body must strive to love in a genuine way. It's an interesting choice of words when you think about it. He says, let love be genuine. It implies that there is a love that is less than genuine. And I think most of us in our human experience, at some point in our life, could acknowledge that this is really indeed true. That there is some kinds of apparent love or things that might be labeled as love that is less than genuine. And all of our discussions within the context of the church, when we speak of love, when we speak of the goal of love, when we speak of the commandments of love, we're pointing to a love that is genuine, a love that is real. See, Christian love isn't putting on a phony smile. Christian love isn't speaking kind words which are insincere. You see, Christian love isn't sweet and sappy and doing all the things externally while it's less than genuine. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. It's not to be phony. It's not to be fake. The exhortations that follow merely illustrate how genuine love is to be. Lest we be confused about what genuine love looks like, he gives us very clear examples in the verses that follow his exhortation. What does genuine love for God look like? Well, it's hating what is evil. It's clinging to what is good. With genuine love, we like being together. With a brotherly affection, we greet one another and enjoy our time together. With genuine love, we burn in our zeal for the Lord. We become aglow with a fire that kindles in our heart with the Spirit. With genuine love, we rejoice in hope. With genuine love, we are patient in affliction. With genuine love, we become constant in prayer. With genuine love, we practice hospitality. With genuine love, we give to the needs of others. And with genuine love, we even bless those who persecute us. You see, love is not just a nice discussion to make us feel warm and fuzzy. It has tangible actions that are to be practiced by us. Genuine love is far from an artificial or phony sweetness that some might imagine. Genuine love is not insincere. Genuine love is deep and it is powerful. It has a concrete expression in practical ways, as the apostle illustrates. Independence certainly has its value and its right to celebrate as a nation this day of our the birth of our nation. But in the context of the faith, we always have to recognize that there is a limit to what we would conceive of as independence. In the context of our faith, we have to recognize that we are ultimately striving to an interdependence of one another. We need each other because we are members of Christ's body. And because we are all members of Christ's body, we must each do our part. When we do not do our part, other members suffer because we do not. Our gifts may be different from one person to the next, but we have to use them. We have to put them to work. We must use our gifts to the glory of God and to the good of others. And when each of us use our gifts, we contribute to the health of the body of Christ. Though our spiritual gifts are different from one another, we do share that same goal of genuine love. We are to pursue that goal. Genuine love is what we seek after. And genuine love, likewise, contributes to the health of the body of Christ. So on this day that celebrates its independence, let us recognize how we are dependent on one another in the right sense of the word. Let us remember that as members of Christ's body, we all have a part to play, that we all have something to do. And let us contribute to the health of that body by using our gifts and by seeking to love genuinely, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.